I also have to start with a disclosure. Sorry, breaking the rules along with Fall here. I am not a technologically oriented individual, and much to the consternation of my children, this is the first time I've used PowerPoint slides in my life. My son said to me, "Mom, really? How old are you?" Anyway, be that as it may, I'm going to be talking to you a little bit today about shame and blame as health strategies. Okay, that was the wrong direction. See, first thing, I go the wrong way with my arrows. I know, but I hit the other one first. I'm fully disclosing here. I also need to disclose that I have absolutely no financial relationships to anything, pretty much, across the board, that has anything to do with this or anything else in my life. Which means most of my efforts are volunteer. Okay, which arrow was it, Dana? Thank you. All right. So thank you very much, Sonia, for the introduction. Thank you all for being here. I'm really happy to see people in this room on Wednesday, last session, giants everywhere, et cetera. So I really appreciate that. And that you're here to hear a little bit more about the Health at Every Size approach to wellness. I already read the disclosure site. Okay, so one of the very first questions I think we need to ask as we're looking at what we're doing with children and teens particularly is, what do we really know? Well, first and foremost, First, we do know many, many, many years of research show us that there are no interventions that are safe, that are healthy, and that are sustainable around weight loss. Pretty much anybody can lose weight in the short term. Pretty much everybody can't keep it off. The data is also very clear, simultaneous with that, that stress, stigma, discrimination have very clear, established negative health outcomes. And yet, despite knowing both of these things, we continue to do programs for our youth that are grounded in a shame and blame weight loss paradigm. In addition, we've decided to frame our whole approach in a very violent way. When we talk about the war on childhood obesity, that doesn't facilitate anyone, particularly our youth, to take care of themselves from a place of peace with their bodies, self-love, and nurturing. How many of you have seen this particular campaign, that the ads? These went up in Georgia. It was a very, not so long ago, a few months ago, a campaign that was done, an anti-obesity campaign. Take a look at these slides. Look at the faces of these children. You can see shame and blame are painfully evidenced in both these images and in the captions. And of course, if you really look at this somewhat ironically, these are all well-paid child actors. But that's not really the point. Is this really what we want to be communicating to our youth, that there's something inherently wrong with them, that they're not okay, and they better damn well do something about it? So what are some of the consequences of, Fall addressed some of these, but specifically in terms of youth, when we use a weight-based approach? There's a very clear indication that there's increased stigmatization of fat children and teens. There's some across the board, actually, adults as well. You might look at some of the research out of the Rudd Institute. Very clear, there's also been elevated levels of bullying based on body size. 60% of the bullying that occurs in schools now is based on body size, whether it be the petite young man or the fat girl, and anywhere in between. It's really gotten significantly worse, and yet the federal legislation that recently came out on bullying does not include body size anywhere. There's a higher incidence of eating disorder behavior in our community now than there was before the war on obesity, those are my air quotes, was declared several years ago. And the onset of eating disorders has dropped. So we're seeing younger and younger individuals being diagnosed with fairly serious eating disorder behavior. And the other thing that this does is it sends a very exclusionary message. It implies that eating nutritious foods and enjoying regular physical activity, it's only important if you're fat, so those individuals that aren't in that category don't need to pay attention to it. Again, I'd ask, is that really the health message we want to be promoting out there? When kids hear the term war on childhood obesity, this is exactly what they think. This is out of the mouth of babes. This is not our quote. This is a quote from youth that I've worked with. And again, that's not what we want to be saying, is it? The really good news is that there is an alternative, as Fall mentioned. It's the health at every size approach, a model which really, truly minimizes the stigmatization, minimizes weight-based bullying. It makes it totally not okay to do either of those things. The Hayes model celebrates the beauty and health that can exist across a wide, diverse range of body sizes and shapes. And it presents weight-neutral programs which are inclusive, which benefit all kids. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Here are the basic principles of health at every size. And by the way, there were two handouts. If you didn't get both of them, because we ran out of one of them, I don't know why, because I have thousands of them at our booth, but I didn't bring enough over. If you only got one, you have a health at every size fact sheet. You have a piece that we developed specifically for here at AFA about public health. And the health at every size principles are included in those. And I imagine they're also included in the appendix of your slides, too. So I'm not going to read these, but I would really highly recommend that you read them and think about them. So what do we need to do as health promoters, as practitioners, as advocates for health, whatever particular field we may be in, when we're doing our work? One of the first things we need to do is to make sure that we're choosing images and curriculum and materials that truly embody weight neutrality. This is the cover of a book, the third edition of a curriculum that's coming out. It's just come out, that's available, that is talking about healthy bodies and teaching kids what they need to know to take care of themselves. Again, this is a very supportive of the re-empowerment kind of perspective. We need to listen to our children. They can be extremely wise. Not do a top-down approach with them either. This is one of the first things we need to do. The steps that I would recommend if you are going to move towards doing a Health at Every Size program, the very first one in my book is to examine your own size bias. Believe me, we live in a culture, so no one is immune from this. And then you need to banish it. Let it go. Don't operate from that perspective anymore. Towards yourself or towards others. Never use BMI or body weight as a measure of success. And I just want to say that I'm very aware of the fact that the vast majority of funding for projects and research and programs requires that you use, or requests anyway, that BMI and body weight or body weight are wrapped in there in terms of your measures of success. We can really move away from that. I know that from personal experience. Finesse is a very good skill to have. You also want to involve youth in decision-making and program design whenever possible. It makes a huge difference in the efficacy of your efforts. Always use language that is weight neutral. And be very, very clear in your messaging that it is never okay to judge health or worth based on someone's appearance. Just quickly, I want to spend a moment and tell you about two examples that I've been involved with. I am active on the Get Healthy San Mateo County Initiative, which is a task force here locally that's worked on areas of nutrition and physical activity and related things. I also am active on the wellness policy committees, both in the development and implementation of two school districts, one an elementary middle school district in Redwood City, and the Sequoia Union High School District, which is, again, in San Mateo County, down a little bit south from where we are now. The first program that I just wanted to mention was the Wellness Committee of the Redwood City School District spent time and put together what was called the Fit Fun Game Guide. It's an in-classroom activity guide that allows teachers to incorporate a minute or two of physical activity or longer. They can take them outside. There are indoor and outdoor games. And within this document, it is all about accessibility. It's about fun. It's about stimulating all those wonderful things that help kids then sit still and learn a little better. And it is not in anywhere connected with weight loss messages. You can also find it at if you Google the Redwood City School District there on the wellness page. You can actually download this resource if you're interested. At the high school district, what we did about 3 years ago is we were able to secure a small grant funding to do fish bowls. Are most of you familiar with what a fish bowl is? Okay. If you work with youth, you probably know. So a fish bowl is different from a focus group in that the group that's answering questions is on the inside of a circle, and those that are listening to their input are on the outside and can't say a word. It really teaches you how to listen. So we did a series of fish bowls. We started with youth. It was in the fish bowl. We did a subsequent one with the adults in the fish bowl. And it was all about the food culture on campuses. So we asked the youth, what is it that you want to change on your campuses? The last session that we had with this was an action planning. The groups together, adults and youth, came up with the priorities. And we are now in about the third year of implementation. We've done food fairs. We've done taste testing of the school foods. The youth have been engaged in choosing options that they like. They surprise us frequently about what their preferences are. You know, we really don't know what's best as adults and what the youth are going to eat. We need to ask them. We're working in the physical activity areas. We're doing all kinds of things that are youth-driven. And it is a fabulous kind of collaboration to be involved with. And it's changing the culture on the campuses. So these are just a few of the references that I want to just have you see. If you're not familiar with Linda Bacon's work, you should be. She has written a book. I know that we've talked to a lot of people here that are very familiar with Linda's work. She teaches. There's a lot of Rebecca Pohl's work at the Rudd Institute on stigma, some very important pieces. And basically, in conclusion, going back to my original question, shame and blame are not health strategies. They do far more damage than they could ever do good, and I would really encourage all of us to move away from that and embrace a truly positive, supportive, and inclusive approach, the health at every size approach. Thank you.